Some of you guys don't even have a category in your mind for what Jesus is about to do today. But he did it, and he didn't apologize. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. As you read your Bible, the big numbers are the chapter numbers, and the small numbers at the beginning of the sentences are verse numbers. So we're going to start in chapter 7, and we're going to start in 24. But today, you should be amazed. You shouldn't be amazed that Jesus is offensive, though you're going to be offended. But you should be amazed at what genuine saving faith looks like. Humble faith, desperate faith, broken faith, persistent faith, genuine faith. Just don't assume that you're a Christian because you're sitting here today. So watch this. Chapter 7, verse 24. Then Jesus left Galilee, and he went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came, fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. She had a demon. And she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Seems like an innocent plea. Since she was a Gentile, non-Jew, that's what Gentile means, born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Tyre and Sidon was a region far away. This may have been the farthest that Jesus traveled in his ministry, the farthest from Jerusalem, the farthest from Galilee. It was a wicked region, Tyre and Sidon. Jesus himself compared it to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a port city, lots of travelers, you can just imagine, okay? And did Jesus just call a woman a dog? Yes. Yes. Men, do not try this. You're not God. But Mark tells us this story for a reason, and he tells it so fast because he just wants to get through the story of the life of Jesus. Mark's the shortest gospel, but he leaves a ton of stuff out, a ton. So to get the full picture, I want you to flip to Matthew 15. So book to your left, it's the book right before Mark, and go to chapter 15 because you got to see it with your own eyes. It's so much better. Mark chapter 15, and the story starts in 21. This is good. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Sounds familiar. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading. He gets a little more specific. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David." So she knows a little bit. "For my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." Look at verse 23. "But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word." So pause there. She has humble faith, broken faith, desperate faith. She comes to him saying, "Have mercy on me, Jesus." She's not asking for fairness. She's pleading for mercy. "Don't give me as I deserve, but show me mercy." If we got what was fair, we would all pay for our own sins in hell. That's just fair. Mercy means we don't get that. We don't get what we deserve. And get this, it's not even her. It's her little girl possessed by a demon. Now, moms, I know sometimes you think your little girl. No, this one's real. This one really happened. But get this. The first rejection was that Jesus gave her no reply. Not a word. He ignored her. You don't have a category for that kind of Jesus, do you? Like right now in your head, I bet you're thinking, he's kind of a prick. And you might as well say it out loud because he already knows what you're thinking. That's how I read the story. Well, Jesus here, get this, is intentionally and purposefully doing something, and we'll get there. But before we get to the point, the main point of this, would you have passed this first test? If you came to Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David, my daughter's possessed, and he ignores you, would you have kept going? Probably would have failed. Look at verse 23, the second rejection. Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him, send her away. Tell her to go away. Shoo, she's bothering us with all this begging. So it had to go on for a long time. The disciples, second rejection, shoo her away. First rejection, Jesus ignores her. Second one, disciples, go, leave, shoo her away. Would you have faith to stay humble at this point? Would you have faith to stay broken, desperate, and persistent? As Jesus doesn't give you a word, the disciples shoo her away. And then verse 24, Jesus said to the woman, get this, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Third rejection. He didn't say anything to her. Then the disciples shoo her away. He finally opens his mouth and says, I didn't come for the Gentiles. I came for God's own people. At this point, I'm serious. I would have given up. After the third strike, I'm like, I would have given up. I know myself. I probably would have flipped in the bird. Can we be honest? Like, okay, anyways. But look at this is precious. Verse 25, look at her response after three rejections. She came and worshiped. I don't even have a category for this kind of faith. She pleads with him again. I would have been mad at the disciples. I would have been mad at Jesus. And she worships him and says, Lord, help me. You're starting to see the purpose of this story. What a display of true, genuine faith. But then look at verse 26. It just doesn't let up. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Fourth rejection is it's, you're a dog. I love my kids more than the pets. Would you have been offended at this point? I'm offended just reading it. But she will not stop until she gets the only thing that matters, a blessing from the only Savior. She just doesn't give up. Look at verse 27. She doesn't reply, forget you then. She doesn't reply, I'll look for another. She says, yeah, that's true. Lord. She's still calling him Lord. But even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table. And finally, Jesus says, dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted, and her daughter was instantly healed. Jesus says to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted, and instantly her demon-possessed daughter was healed. What is going on here? Why throw this story in the Bible? Why even respond this way? Well, here's the point. Jesus is teaching the disciples that salvation is for anyone who has genuine faith in Christ. Don't miss that. He's teaching the disciples. He took the disciples away. We're going out of Galilee. We're traveling all the way to Tyre and Sidon, and he comes across this lady that has great faith in the Savior. That's the point. It's not just for ethnic Israel. It's not just for the sons of Abraham, even if you sing the song. It is for anyone who has genuine, persistent, humble, broken faith in Christ. It's a display of faith. That's why this story is in here.
Now, I want you to do this because this got me this week. Compare your faith in Jesus with hers. I get pouty so easily. I give up so quick when I don't have answers right away. At the first little rejection. Do you have that kind of saving faith? Like, are you sure that your faith is this kind of saving faith? Would you have given up at the first rejection when Jesus ignored you? Would you have given up when he called you a dog? I don't mean you have the kind of faith that gives God your leftovers. That if you have spare time, you'll get to him. I don't mean the kind of faith that is easily offended when things don't go your way. And this woman, she's a non-Jew, Syrophoenician woman. She has authentic, saving faith in the only one who matters, Jesus himself. She said, I will even take the leftovers. I will even accept any scraps that you're going to give me. Four times she persisted and she didn't get offended. Four times she was not offended. Four times she didn't leave pouting. Four times she did not turn away because her faith was authentic, it was humble, it was genuine, and it was broken. This challenged my faith this week, and I was embarrassed when I did an honest comparison of how finicky I am. So to make it practical for you, true, genuine, saving faith, the only kind of faith that matters, is not satisfied with anything less than Christ himself. You're not satisfied with just going to church, doing the things, and then you're good. And that's all the Jesus you need for the day. That's all the Jesus you need for the week. You do your part, God, I'll do mine, and we're cool. True, genuine, saving faith hungers for God. Then this last section, flip back to Mark, because we're supposed to make it through the end. This last section, Jesus does this for a direct purpose. What he's going to do next. It's a purposeful action to fulfill what was said 700 years earlier in Isaiah. This is not just a random miracle. Isaiah 35, you don't have to flip there, but this is where it comes from. 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah said this. Be strong. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God is coming. We don't talk about this much. To destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. Now watch this. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind. He will unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap. Those who couldn't walk will leap like a deer. And those who could not speak will sing for joy. Those, he's going to unplug ears. He's going to make the deaf hear. Those who cannot speak will sing. So now go to Mark 7. I'm going to continue this story in 31. Jesus then left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns. He walked a lot. And a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him. And the people begged Jesus to lay hands on the man to be healed because the man couldn't speak. Jesus led him away from the crowd so that they could be alone. Just be amazed at this, as if you were there. He put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit on his own fingers. Yuck! He touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, oh, you threw it in there. Ephatha. That's Aramaic, which means be opened. Instantly, the man could hear perfectly. And his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Look at this. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, But the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, "Everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak." Now, this is kind of funny, because imagine being deaf and mute your whole life, and then Jesus heals you and opens your ears and gives you speech, and then he says, "Don't tell anybody." Wait a minute. But here's the point. Don't read this story detached from it. Like, this happened so long ago, and Jesus was really cool back then, but today he's kind of like boring. But read this story as a personal testimony about the true and living God. Like, I think that's why we detach from the Bible. It's just like, it's a flannel graph or something. Like, they wore robes and they looked weird and they played with sheep. Like, we don't do that today. But don't detach it. This Jesus, he is not a once was. He's not a has been. Like all of our professional athletes, we got their glory days and then they fade. Not our God. He's not less tame now than he was back then. If you read through the Exodus and the mountain shook and the people said, "Don't speak to us anymore. Speak to Moses and we'll just listen to him." He's no less today, and read your Bible that way. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more amazing he becomes if you take it personal. So read God's word to be fascinated with God. And don't assume that you have faith like this Gentile woman. Don't assume that you have humble, broken faith. And then be amazed at the crowds. Look at what they said. They were completely amazed again and again. Everything he does is wonderful. That's still true today. He even makes the deaf hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Get to know this Jesus. That's the goal. If Jesus is boring to you, you don't know him yet. Let's pray. I don't know what we would do without your word. We would be more off course than we are. I pray that these stories of you would not just be stories in the past, but that you right now rule and reign from heaven. You came down to do what we could not. You rescued us from the power of sin that has death over us. And you've adopted us into your family. May we never be bored with you. Would you take sin out of us and replace it with fresh hearts that desire you more than anything? It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.